Listen up, football fans. You won't want to miss this.
Right now, new Bet365 customers bet $5 and get $200 in bonus bets, win or lose. So you could turn that $200 into something bigger when you bet on Moneyline, spread, totals, player props.
$200 in bonus bets when new customers bet $5. I know where I'm going to bet from now on. Download the app today and see why it's never ordinary at Bet365. Gambling problem? Call 1-800-GAMBLER. 21 plus only. Must be physically located in Ohio. T&Cs apply. In-app only.
This episode is brought to you by Progressive Insurance. What if comparing car insurance rates was as easy as putting on your favorite podcast? With Progressive, it is. Just visit the Progressive website to quote with all the coverages you want. You'll see Progressive's direct rate, then their tool will provide options from other companies so you can compare. All you need to do is choose the rate and coverage you like. Quote today at Progressive.com to join the over 28 million drivers who trust Progressive. Progressive Casualty Insurance Company and Affiliates. Comparison rates not available in all states or situations. Prices vary based on how you buy.
Dollar Shave Club delivers premium razors without premium prices. Get close, comfortable six-blade shaves, swift rinse and four blades for thicker hair, and translucent shave butter for precision. Visit DollarShaveClub.com/homerun. Use promo code HOMERUN for 20% off.
Nick Wilson, Jonathan Peterlin back on Afternoon Drive. Ken Rosenthal, what a jerk. Part two. Already got to run over cameraman if you hear what he said about the...
Stare him down awkwardly.
He's such a so-and-so. Whatever you said about Al Michaels, that's what I now feel about Ken Rosenthal. You'll find out why coming up in about 40 minutes here, but... We played a little bit of Micah Parsons, a little bit of Myles Garrett talking earlier today with the Cleveland media. Here's what he had to say about the Micah Parsons trade and his immediate reaction to it.
Holy shit, did it. I think that was the same thing that went through most people's minds. And the 47, and I remember him talking about, we were sitting in the sauna during the offseason. He was like, if I get a deal, I'm going to beat this out of your deal. And he went out there and got it. So that was part of the humorous part of the deal. And then him texting me, talking about, did I do right? And I was like, nah, you did perfect. So I'm just glad to see him, get what he's earned. And he's worth every dollar.
Now, I have made the comparison to the Reggie White trade, both when it happened and when I've been on Milwaukee radio this week talking about this game. But it shouldn't be lost on any of us that one of the people thought to be most aggressively pursuing Myles Garrett in the event of a trade was the Green Bay Packers. So there's an alternate history potentially out there where it's Myles on the Green Bay Packers right now and not Micah Parsons.
So the hard part for Myles is that the trade and everything that's come after it is he gets to look at Micah Parsons and see, this is what my life could have been. Mm-hmm. So like, people are like, oh, do you think Myles is regretting the idea that he stayed with the Browns? Well, I mean, they're 0-2 and they're not looking like they're doing anything anytime soon. Meanwhile, Micah Parsons is playing on a team where one of his teammates 2 days ago said he feels like an undefeated season is on the horizon. Well, like, there's a stark difference. And for Myles, he's got this is a quick reminder of how life could have been very, very different for him if this had played out differently.
We're in an interesting spot right now because through two games, Myles is getting a lot of praise. Greg Rosenthal the other day on the NFL Daily podcast,
he's played really well.
Said he's the DPOY through 2 weeks. And yet, you mentioned the push and pull of Myles has always been good. The question has been, is the team good enough around him? And I can already see that since the trade, people are starting to point out, Sam Bruckhaus said something very similar today with us at 3. Yeah, there's Myles, and then there's everybody else on that defense, which yeah. I don't think is entirely fair.
No, he made it seem like, that meme of the Lambo in the driveway of the mobile home?
Yeah.
He made it seem like that.
Yes.
People call it like the million-dollar chandelier in the empty house. Like, that's not the case.
Yeah.
There are players on this defense.
But that is a narrative that is emerging that is not complimentary to the Cleveland Browns, but it's quite complimentary to Myles Garrett.
Yeah, but if I'm Myles, I love that clip only because you could tell in him describing them being in the sauna together, it was almost like he dared Micah to try to make it happen because he wasn't able to.
Yeah.
Like, yeah, all right, good luck pulling that off. If you think you can do it, go ahead. And then like, oh, he got it. He got it done. Like, there's a shock value to it all, and that's why he said what he said. If I'm Miles, I just don't know how anybody can, with a straight face, say that Miles ended up in the best situation out of all this when Micah is living out his dream.
So does that sound like, or it sounds rather like you're saying you think maybe Miles regrets the way it happened, or maybe even wishes he would have played it out differently, and you know, maybe Micah showed him that after the fact.
Well, which do you think, Micah's happier in Dallas, or do you think he's happier in Green Bay? Because I'd make the contention, same thing with Miles, that he's happier playing in Green Bay on a team that has deep playoff aspirations compared to a Cowboys team that is going nowhere, and compared to a Browns team, as much as we like them, they're not doing anything this year.
So what's tough about the answer,
well, also getting paid $47 million a year.
So what's tough about the answer to your question is, quite frankly, I don't know what's real with Miles. Like, I know, I'm talking about off the field, because Miles says a lot. Miles talks about wanting to be a leader and then conveniently goes out there and shows some things that aren't exactly leader-esque material, right? Miles will say one thing and then, you know, does another. And again, I'm not trying to hammer him, because we got a game coming up and I've been incredibly thrilled with what we've seen with Miles. But you're asking, well, I bet you Miles would rather have, I don't know, maybe it really was all about the money. Because it was all about the money. $40 million a year at that moment was as much as you were getting. It took Jamar Chase and TJ Watt getting paid, and then just the absolute, like, I'm hardlining this to such a degree, it took Micah 8 months to get what he wanted. I don't think Miles was ever letting that thing go 8 months.
So maybe that's where he felt like he did play this or misplaced this, by the way, is he was first to, let's get this negotiated and figured out. Like, if I'm an agent or if I'm anyone in the NFL, I'm waiting as long as you can, because you have to wait for the other deals to come in. You have to wait for all these other pass rushers and all these other big-time non-quarterbacks to get paid if you really are one of the elite, and Miles is. And so Miles misplayed this for a couple different reasons and ways, but one of the ways he did was by getting at Super Bowl Radio Row and making this an all-February thing, when if he was smart about it, he would have waited and basically just did what Micah pulled off.
I mean, I don't know. I think his goal was to be the highest defensive, or the highest non-quarterback, highest paid non-quarterback in the NFL, and he did that.
But he would have accomplished that in a trade too, though.
Oh, no. But I think my point is, I think the money mattered as much to anything for Miles. So if you said to Miles, all right, we'll send you to Green Bay, but they're going to pay you $38 million a year, or you can stay here and make 40, I think the money clearly, and by the way, it should. He's got a finite amount of time to make money. My problem is never him wanting money. It's how he went about saying what he wanted. But yeah, I find it hard to believe that Miles regrets his decision, because he caved so quickly off his trade request, not even making it a free agency. I think once he saw $40 million, I think it was, okay, cool, I'm doing, I'm happy now.
Yeah, I just think if it was me personally, again, I can't take myself into Miles' head. I don't know. We've talked about how backwards he is sometimes anyway. It's a hard spot to try to even figure out, but it's a no-brainer to me. $47 million and a team that looks like it's going to go on a Super Bowl run, I'm going to take that over what I was getting paid, or even if Dallas would have been able to match it for some unknown reason. Let's say $47 million in Dallas, but you're playing on a team that's going nowhere. Like, to me, it's a no-brainer. If you have any competitive bone in your body, you're going to take being on the team that has a chance.
Yeah, or maybe, I don't know. What I struggle with Miles is, I do think he wants to win, and I do think that this is a part of it. But I just think once you get to a certain point, like, you're such to rarefied air, you know you're going to go wherever you want to go. I think in bailing on his trade request in 5 weeks, I think he tells you he really never had a plan to get traded. That was TJ Watt went from, I mean, again, TJ Watt asked for a new contract right around the same time Miles asked for a trade. And TJ Watt held that son of a gun out until what? July?
July, yeah.
So that shows me intent. Micah in this whole thing actually started last year. That's almost a full year of discomfort, right? That's a full year of, what do you want, Micah? I want money. They don't want to give it to me, right? That is a commitment to living in the discomfort that you have to do to get this kind of thing done. I think Miles caving 5 weeks in tells you he was never built for that kind of... And by the way, this is not a bad thing. Not everybody is built to have a contractual disagreement and hold out and force your way out. Something changed in those five weeks, and Micah wasn't built for it.
And Micah is built for it, by the way. There's a reason why he has a podcast and says what he says on his podcast. Like, I do think Micah is the perfect storm of a player to be able to say, I'm going to get out, I'm gonna find my way out, and then Jerry's the perfect owner to respond accordingly.
Sounds like you think Miles needs a podcast.
I don't know that I'd listen.
Why not?
I don't know.
What if it was about dinosaurs?
Because I've listened to every press conference he's done for the entire time he's been here on every single Friday. And like that 20-minute chunk, I'm like, all right, I got a good amount of miles.
I just don't want it to be about really football. I want it to be
about
like... I
don't
really
need a podcast for Miles. I really don't.
Classic rock and muscle cars and dinosaurs.
I'm kind of out on player podcast in general right now.
Oh, no, there's definitely too many and none of them say anything.
Yeah, I don't really need it. I can't think of one that I listen to.
Actually, all right, this is because we're going down a little avenue here. Do you know what I think my favorite thing about player podcast is?
What's that?
It is exposing the idea that players know more about sports than the fans that watch it. Mm-hmm. They know more about, like, Miles knows more about being a defensive end than I do.
Yeah.
He knows more about what the Browns are trying to do schematically than I do. Right, that. But in terms of holistically about how football works, or how I mean like the machinations of the league. I mean how teams think, how all of this stuff. I guarantee you, most players, and it's shown in analysts too during the game.
Well, this was we're veering into the Ryan Clark. Didn't play the sport territory.
Yes, exactly. And like I watched Get Up this morning, and they're like. Bart Scott and Harry Douglas were acting like Pete Schrager's a moron. And I'm like, you guys just said the Buffalo Bills can't get better when it's week three of the season. And teams' defenses do actually get better in the regular season. That's the stupid stuff that actual NFL players just said on air.
So my favorite response to that whole conversation was the part of my take, guys. Big Cat was essentially like, and PFT commenter were like, so while you were out there playing the game, we were watching all day on Sundays coming up with takes. These are our great take years and our formative take years. You're finding out like all 4-3 defenses and stuff like that. We were coming up with takes. And there's a difference there. It's just a funny way of looking at it.
And you might have watched two football games.
Well, that's it.
They
were playing the game, yeah. And we watched because on Sundays, I mean, we're sun up to sundown. There's not a game you miss. Monday, Thursday night, we don't miss these games. Meanwhile, they play in a game, and then they go back and watch that game that they played 47 times.
216-474-0092. That doesn't mean players' voices don't matter. It just means they're a little bit overrated because everybody acts like if you played the game, you know some inside sauce or inside deal. Not always the case there. Does Myles Garrett wish he would have played his contract situation like Micah Parsons? Maybe Myles would have chosen a different result. I think that's clear when you say, I want to go to a winning team and I want to. But like he got at least half of what he wanted. And at the point, the biggest contract given out to any non-quarterback in the NFL. And I think along the way, he did learn something about himself. That what you have to do in this situation, when you fold in 5 weeks, you tell everyone you're not equipped for it. And there's nothing wrong with that, right? There is the importance of know thyself. And I don't think Miles is going to do that specific thing again the way he did it. But man, I got to be honest with you. If you're Miles, this is the bed. You chose your bed multiple times. Right. This is the one inevitably that you ended up choosing, and he didn't really put that much of a fight up with the Browns organization.
But the sting on it is that you're looking across at Micah Parsons, and he's the guy that got to have his cake and eat it too.
But I don't think you can have second thoughts about it because you chose it, and you chose it succinctly and fastly. Quickly is what I was going for.
Right, but it's different if you chose it and then you thought I had no way out and basically the Browns were never going to trade me and we haven't seen too many guys be able to force their way out and so this is just my lot and I have to do it. And then you look around and somebody that is your contemporary, somebody that's your friend, you apparently sauna in the offseason together, okay? Like he's your friend and he's pulling off a move that not only made him the highest paid non-quarterback in league history, but then also has him on a Super Bowl caliber team. Instantly, there's got to be some jealous that seeps in.
216-474-0092. Does Miles wish he would have played his contract situation like Micah Parsons? I would kind of make fun of him if he did. I think JP thinks that there's a chance he does. And Miles was asked about whether he feels the way he's playing right now, he's as good as he's ever played. You're going to hear that answer in 5 minutes on 92.3 The Fan. Hey, Football Friday rolls on, but I will give you another reason to hate Ken Rosenthal. As a Guardians fan in about 20 minutes here, We got the lead coming up. Daryl Ryder, it's 6. Plenty to get to on the show. We just saw, so Mac isn't working on the show today. Mac, due to his Browns duties, will get a couple days off throughout the week, and today is one of his days off. But he was in today to pick up something, and it was very nice to see him. He's got a suit on for a very good reason that we don't have to talk about on air, because I definitely made an ass out of myself off air on why he's wearing a suit.
I think we all figured out why he's wearing a suit, though.
Yeah, it's a funeral. Thank you, Nick. Thank you for making that joke. However, at the end, I was like, all right, buddy. Have a good weekend or whatever
it was,
I said.
Suit or court, I think, was going through my head. And I'm like, I don't know what Mac would have done for court. So I think we're okay.
That's a good point. That, maybe like a ICP shirt. I don't even know if Mac would.
Listen up, football fans. You won't want to miss this.
Right now, new Bet365 customers bet $5 and get $200 in bonus bets, win or lose. So you could turn that $200 into something bigger when you bet on Moneyline, Spread, Totals, Player Props.
$200 in bonus bets when new customers bet $5. I know where I'm going to bet from now on. Download the app today and see why it's never ordinary at Bet365. Gambling problem? Call 1-800-GAMBLER. 21 plus only. Must be physically located in Ohio. T&Cs apply. In app only.
This episode is brought to you by Progressive Insurance. Whether you love true crime or comedy, celebrity interviews or news, you call the shots on what's in your podcast queue. And guess what? Now you can call them on your auto insurance too with the Name Your Price tool from Progressive. It works just the way it sounds. You tell Progressive how much you want to pay for car insurance, and they'll show you coverage options that fit your budget. Get your quote today at progressive.com to join the over 28 million drivers who trust Progressive. Progressive Casualty Insurance Company and Affiliates. Price and coverage match limited by state law.
Dollar Shave Club delivers premium razors without premium prices. Get close, comfortable six-blade shaves, swift rinse and four blades for thicker hair, and translucent shave butter for precision. Visit dollarshaveclub.com/homerun. Use promo code HOMERUN for 20% off.
True North convenience stores and Red Bull are an elite matchup. True North offers returning players Red Bull Original and Sugar Free. First round picks like Watermelon, Wild Berries, and the newest rookie, Red Bull Zero. Right now, grab 3 of your favorite 8-ounce can flavors for $6.50 and save 10 cents off a gallon with the True Rewards mobile app. Available in your favorite app store. Rush into True North to score this deal before the clock runs out. True North convenience stores. Fast, friendly, clean.
Game day or any day, your fit says it all. Hit up MLBShop.com for the latest jerseys, caps, hoodies, and accessories to keep you in the game all year long. Rep your team, rep your city, rep yourself. Gear up and game on at MLBShop.com, the official online shop of Major League Baseball. Major League Baseball trademarks used with permission.
Mac likes ICP. However, then he went, hey, Nick, good to see you. I was like, we see each other every day.
Every day.
Yeah, I think that's the wrong way to end a conversation with somebody who you weren't expecting to see me. That's fair.
Yeah.
But then to be like, good to see you. It's like, I wasn't expecting to, but it's always good to see you, friend.
He meant it, though.
That's true.
He did mean it. It was nice to be seen.
Did you hear the thing he said after?
No, I didn't.
And it was like, and also you, JP.
Oh, did he? Oh, that's nice.
He threw it down the hall, but I think because I was laughing.
I didn't even see him. I didn't even see him in his suit or anything.
Again, not factually correct, but nice to hear nonetheless. Right?
Definitely not factually correct. He didn't actually see me.
No, but he heard you.
I didn't see him at all.
But he heard you.
I don't even think I spoke in the time that he was here.
And it would be weird to say, nice to hear you.
that made the exchange like 12 times more awkward now.
Now, this was a fun exchange from Myles Garrett's press conference. And I actually really love this question by Mary Kay Cabot on Myles, who threw 2 games, has 3.5 sacks. I don't remember the TFLs or the pressures, but 3.5 sacks, more than double what Micah Parsons has. And so this brought up this question from Mary Kay Cabot.
3 years. I know this is a small sample size, only a couple games, but it seems like you're kind of going to another level. Is this as well as you've ever played?
Sample size too small, but I will say, probably by the end of the season, I will say that right now there's a couple stretches I can remember that were better than this.
Okay. Mary Kay doesn't have laryngitis. That was Tom Withers. I'd like to apologize to Mary Kay and to Tom Withers there. It was an excellent question nonetheless, and I actually really dug this answer for Myles.
Why is that?
Because one, I think he's been tremendous the first 2 weeks, and he's been tremendous in the run game. We haven't had that like, oh, you know what, over pursuit moment, which sometimes happens on the ground game, and he has had truly dominating moments. So much, though, that it's week two when he's on the sideline getting oxygen because he's playing so hard. I think lost in the fact that the Browns are really bad is Myles Garrett's been really, really good. But I think Miles also is correct to say, let's not get there too early.
He's been really, really good. What's important out of this stretch, though, is that he's been really good in really timely moments and, yeah. and like impactful parts of games. I remember when the Browns opened up the season against the Panthers a few years ago, the Baker Mayfield game, and he had a meaningless third quarter sack in a series that didn't really make the biggest of differences or anything like that. I think Baker then turned around and had a completion and it moved the chains. And I remember like out of that whole entire game and then in the ensuing weeks was just how Miles was just, you know, stacking up all of these sacks that just didn't really seem to matter. And the difference between that Miles and now this Miles is that every sack feels like it's coming not only at the crucial parts of games, but they're coming in big time moments, and that's not something that he can plan, but it is happening that way, and I think that's really nice.
Miles is always going to face double and triple teams and chips and everything, and they're going to, you know, try and roll away from him at every chance they get. Teams are game planning and have game planned for Miles for a significant amount of time.
Mm-hmm.
But I think the benefit of Malik Collins being here and the benefit of Isaiah McGuire step forward in the depth on that defensive line, and if Mason Graham can be half as good at pass rush as he is against the run, I think this defensive line is set up where Miles is going to get a lot more opportunities this year to just be the best player on the football field. You know, I think sometimes we conflate, well, he's had Jadeveon, he's had Olivier Vernon, he's had this guy, he's had that guy.
Yeah.
But if you look at it, the thing that he hasn't had is like fully competent defensive line play all around him. And so I think it has been, I think what's lost in the TJ Watt conversation or any of the other players where people go, well, but he had more sacks, has lost. I think it's been easier to double and triple team Miles while also chipping him because you haven't had the consistent fear of the rest of the guys they play with. I think this is as deep as the defensive line has been, even if they don't have maybe one player that's at where Jadeveon was at his best or Olivier Vernon was at his best. And so three and a half sacks, I think that is part and parcel with where the rest of the defense is. So I think you combine that with the fact that Miles knows to help his legacy, you got to get to like, you have to have that 16, 17, 18, 19, 20 sack season. I think this could be it, which is mildly, I would say, ironically funny, considering it might happen on a 4-13 team.
Well, so some of the early returns you talk about obviously are really positive. Malik Collins he's been very, very impressive to a point that although we know he's a seasoned veteran and we knew what he was capable of, he's been really outstanding. Isaiah McGuire has not only won the job, he's won it in spades. He's spectacular, but the only hang up I would have is I think what Miles was alluding to this is not something that is just solely Myles Garrett. We see this with TJ Watt. Hell, we saw it with Micah Parsons. If 12 different Cowboys fans tell me at certain points that Micah Parsons just disappears in November on, but it's the same story with Miles too. Miles, in many ways, is not nearly the player in September that he is in November, and I mean that in the idea that he's always great in September, he's always great in the early parts of the season, and it does. It gets tougher as the season moves on, and so I think that's what Miles was getting to in that, just a recognition of how much harder it is to pass rush and get to the quarterback later on in the season.
I'm going
to
ask you an impossible question, and okay, I don't think there's a wrong answer, but
I do like ones where there's no wrong answer, but we can try to get you a wrong answer.
Well, but there might be a wrong answer to certain Browns fans.
Okay.
I asked Sam Bruckhaus, next 3 years, are you taking Miles or are you taking Micah?
Yeah, I'm still taking Miles.
I am too, and I was kind of surprised by Sam's answer that, well, if it's for the next 3 years.
I don't even think he wanted to answer it that way. I think once you did it, it's 3 years. I think in his head, he was already doing the 5 year, mm-hmm. and he's like, well, Miles is going to fall off at some point. And but I don't know anybody that has been around Miles or has seen Miles that could ever make the suggestion it's happened within the next 3 years.
I think as impressive as what Micah does, and guys, I think Micah is probably the most underrated elite pass rusher in the game because I think TJ gets talked about a lot more. I think Miles gets talked about a lot more. Hendrickson, Crosby, There's a couple other guys that I'm just not thinking of right now in this moment. The fact that Micah Parsons doesn't have a Defensive Player of the Year award is an omission. And now it's a sign that he lives in an era of truly elite-level pass rushers. I would say the difference is Micah is an incredibly explosive player. I think Miles is an all-around great player.
Mm-hmm.
And I just think it's so rare that we see 290-pound guys, 300-pound guys that move the way that Myles Garrett moves. Meaning, if you are a power pass rusher, he can beat you at your power. Like the best thing you do
off of it is insane.
Yeah, well, but he can, if you want to fight power with Miles, he can beat you even if you're Trent Williams. You might beat him a couple times, but he can beat you there too. But he also, if you're a speed guy, he can beat you with speed. And oh, by the way, he can beat a speed guy with power and then the inverse as well. Like that, and doing that at 290, 295 pounds, we have had quite a few, many great edge rushers since Reggie White retired and unfortunately passed away. Miles, Julius Peppers, maybe J.J. Watt, because J.J. was another just gigantic, hulking defensive end. There's like three guys that truly remind me of Reggie White. And I think the guy that perfectly exemplifies that on the field that I see the most is Myles Garrett.
Yeah, I mean, on the,
and that's just
on the
so
field,
much more rare.
On the field, you can't say anything bad about him. And I don't know anybody that's ever going to be able to say anything bad about him on the field. If anything, what he's almost done is highlight the idea that although pass rushers are extremely valuable, how many times have we seen him do what he did last year? We had three sacks in the matter of four plays in the Chargers game, and then Herbert still had a touchdown on that drive. Like, if anything, for me, it's highlighted the idea that even if you have an elite pass rusher, you can still have, at times, a defense that struggles.
I hate this question.
It's true.
But is DPOY actually on the table like Greg Rosenthal said it is?
Yeah, it's just tough because he's not going to win many games.
Yeah.
So it's really hard to how do you win Defensive Player of the Year when you win three or four games or five games potentially?
So everything
it's
I've
like,
said
it seems impossible.
Why I prefer? I think I don't want to say prefer. I just think Miles and this size, the power, the speed, the technique, all of it. It's so rare that it is more impressive. We've got plenty of 250-pound explosive edge rushers who can play with their hand in their dirt or drop back into coverage. And I don't think Micah, by the way, is a 360-degree perfect player the way, and I think Miles has a lot of – there's not a lot of imperfections in his game. The thing that struggles with me is the narrative part. Well, the narrative part really takes a hit at 4-13 or 5-12 or whatever it could be this year.
Mm-hmm.
Mike has got the narrative. You were traded with your new team while injured, and you put up great stats. And you clearly are the epicenter of a lot of what they're doing, and you're getting a lot of coverage for it. And then, like to what you said, this is the kind of year where Miles could have 16 sacks in November. And if he's dinged up and you've got two wins, this could be the year that I say, he's 30 years old. Let's not push it. Maybe he's banged up. We're going to shut it down now. It wouldn't surprise me if this is one of those years where if the wrong injury happens that you make a business decision with Miles given his age, which you really wouldn't do that with Micah.
Yeah, no, he's going to have to do something historic is the difference here. He's going to have to do something that is, I'm talking in the area of 20 plus sacks. He's going to have to be in that category in order to get the attention that is basically needed to win DPOY on a 3-4-5 win team.
And I kind of think Micah just needs an average season.
Yeah, I agree with you. I don't think it needs to be anything, because like it's weird. He's going to get such a boost just by his presence. And people pointing to the idea that, well, that trade is what put him over the top, assuming that they still win at the rate that they're winning, or at least something close, obviously. He's going to get a lot of credit for that, as he should.
And the Packers,
Packers should get rewarded for that.
They could be a 12, 13, 14 win team this year as well with the way they're constructed if they can just stop getting banged up at the skill playing position. And I think there's one other thing. You were right about he's going to be the epicenter and given so much credit for the Packers' success. We're also, he's where Miles was 2 years ago, where there's a fair amount of people like, guys, what are we doing? How has this guy not been a Defensive Player of the Year award yet? Or not a winner yet? I think you're going to get a push from that, too. I think people are going to be like, this dude has consistently put up insane numbers. if you're not going to give it to him this year, he might never win it because look, he put up 15 sacks or whatever it's going to be.
Yeah, but I'm not. So the difference there for me, at least right now, is that I'm not at the point now where if Micah Parsons played out the rest of his career, let's say he had an injury and completely fell off after the season, I'm not looking at it as some massive, grave disrespect to the sport that he never won one. Where I was at a point with Miles where he hadn't won one yet, and I did feel that way. Like Micah's been really, really good, but the volume of work isn't at the same spot as it is where Miles was when Miles was able to rip it off. You need 3-4 more years of Micah.
Was Miles year 7?
I think it was 8, right?
Year 8. I mean, this is year 5 for Micah.
Yeah, so that makes sense. We're two, three years away from being like, all right, and he's got to continue to obviously do what he's been doing. But if we're in year 5 now, and that tracks to what my brain was telling me in the moment, where it's like we're not at the spot where I think like that's a crime that he's never won this award yet. We're getting close. We're knocking on the doorstep, but we're 2-3 years away from that.
At 12 sacks or more every year. I mean, his rookie year, he had 84 tackles. The guy's a constant QB hit machine, TFLs across the board. Although last year was down a little bit. I think we're there.
He's close, but if you're four years of being basically automatic and awesome. I mean, OBJ had 3 awesome years of being a wide receiver, and then we just kind of say, okay, like it needs to be what Miles did year 8, where you're like, whoa. He doesn't have one yet. Now we need to right this wrong. If Micah never got one, as of right now, I'm fine. Wake me up in 2 or 3 years.
There's a whole host of guys who don't have one yet. Max Crosby's one. Trey Hendrickson is one. If either of those guys wins before Micah Parsons, specifically this, it'll be a travesty. It'll be embarrassing.
So like even Hendrickson, for instance, is a great example of this because he was good in New Orleans, but he wasn't what he was in Cincinnati. And it's like, well, he's got 4 solid years. I don't even think he's been anywhere close, all things considered, to what Micah's been able to do. Even though if you look at the sack numbers, you can make the same argument you're just trying to make. 4-plus years of 14 sacks. Like, he's done it, but there's a difference here. And with Micah, you're 2 or 3 years away from me before I say it's a crime. We're not there yet.
216-474-0092. How important is it that Myles Garrett outplays Micah Parsons on Sunday? And I'm going to give you a reason, as a Guardians fan, to hate Ken Rosenthal in 5 minutes on 92.3 The Fan. Back on Afternoon Drive, Nick Wilson, Jonathan Peterlin. We got the lead coming up in about 15 minutes here, but I want to get to the Ken Rosenthal thing because bleep that guy. But we had some reaction to our conversation about Myles Garrett and Micah Parsons. And I had made the point that I didn't think Miles, earlier in this hour, I made the point that I don't think Miles was built for the trade request. And I think that bears fruit when you see that he caved after 5 weeks. Goes on, I think it was the week before the AFC title game. Goes out there, the week of the AFC title game, releases the trade request, then goes on Radio Row, only to then settle for $40 million a year. Slight sarcasm. And stay in Cleveland before.
Bet365 is paying out before the final whistle.
Check out Bet365's unrivaled early payout offer. When you bet on a team to win and they take a 17-point lead, you get paid no matter the final score. Forget the final whistle and start counting that cash. Hold up. You get early payout on parlays, too.
Download the app and see why it's never ordinary at Bet365. Gambling problem? Call 1-800-GAMBLER. 21 plus only. Must be physically located in Ohio. T&Cs apply.
This episode is brought to you by Progressive Insurance. Whether you love true crime or comedy, celebrity interviews or news, you call the shots on what's in your podcast queue. And guess what? Now you can call them on your auto insurance, too, with the Name Your Price tool from Progressive. It works just the way it sounds. You tell Progressive how much you want to pay for car insurance, and they'll show you coverage options that fit your budget. Get your quote today at progressive.com to join the over 28 million drivers who trust Progressive. Progressive Casualty Insurance Company and Affiliates. Price and coverage match limited by state law.
Dollar Shave Club delivers premium razors without premium prices. Get close, comfortable 6-blade shaves, Swift Rinse and 4 blades for thicker hair, and translucent shave butter for precision. Visit dollarshaveclub.com/homerun. Use promo code HOMERUN for 20% off.
True North Convenience Stores and Red Bull are an elite matchup. True North offers returning players Red Bull Original and Sugar Free. First round picks like Watermelon, Wild Berries, and the newest rookie, Red Bull Zero. Right now, grab three of your favorite 8-ounce can flavors for $6.50 and save 10 cents off a gallon with the True Rewards mobile app. Available in your favorite app store. Rush into True North to score this deal before the clock runs out. True North Convenience Stores. Fast, friendly, clean.
Game day or any day, your fit says it all. Hit up MLBShop.com for the latest jerseys, caps, hoodies, and accessories to keep you in the game all year long. Rep your team, rep your city, rep yourself. Gear up and game on at MLBShop.com, the official online shop of Major League Baseball. Major League Baseball trademarks used with permission.
For free agency, well, Joe said he didn't cave. Joe, okay. Welcome to the show, buddy. What you got for us?
Hello, Joe.
Nick, I love you, bro.
Hey, I love you too.
You're right, though. But at the same time, I think that it kind of shows his loyalty to being a Cleveland Brown for the rest of his career. And we've only had a few of them that are in our last so many years. Joe Thomas, et cetera, that want to stick around. And here's a guy that, like, and maybe he thought he could recruit a few people, not a Micah, but, you know, somebody. But here's the thing, like, I just believe that it's like he didn't cave. It's more of a loyalty thing. And as a Cleveland Brown fan, and Nick, I think you, whether or not you grew up here or not, I know you've been all over the place and you're great. I love listening to you. But the thing is, like, as a fan, it's like that is what we need right now. You know, somebody make us feel comfortable, because even the head coach and stuff, we're like hanging on to him and Barry and going, man, we're wishing for the best, you guys, to take us to that. Like, they're, you know, like he had a good draft this year. And but Stefanski, he, you know, coach of the year a couple of times. It's like, OK, we know this Deshaun Watson has set us back. Now let's. The rest of this team is, you know, we as fans, we like never going to give up. And we're never going to say, and I think that Miles feels the same way. It's like, yeah,
but he tried to give up. He tried to give up, buddy.
But he felt a second wind, like we all do. And that's why he stuck around. Because let's face it, he could have went anywhere, bro. You know what I mean? Like, he's the man. I just love him being the leader of our team, where we don't have a lot of leadership right now. And at least we have somebody. And now maybe we can find in the next year or two to step up, because I'm not going to give up as a fan.
Well, OK, you're saying right now is where I am when people say, you know, thank you for the call, bud. It was always good talking to you. When people say, I can't do it with him anymore. I'm like, now? They've actually had some recent success.
So I love
the overall passion. I just think we're maybe revising history, to steal a colloquialism from the morning show.
I don't know that we can do that this
about
week.
Miles,
I thought we retired that term. I'm not sure.
Miles chose to stay, which you get points for. But he conveniently chose to stay for $40 million, and he said a lot of things that it's a little tougher to take back.
I mean, my take on it was pretty simple, and I don't know how anyone can look at it and disagree, but I'm sure people will. I think Micah Parsons got everything that Myles Garrett wanted to get. He got $47 million, highest paid non-quarterback in the sport, and now he's playing for a team that is projected to win 12 to 13 games and have a legitimate chance of going to the Super Bowl. Like, if he looks at Micah Parsons and has anything but jealousy on how his situation played out relative to Miles' situation, I'd just be surprised by it. That's all.
I will also say, I grew up in Wadsworth. I went to high school at Woodridge. I'm Ohio through and through, baby. Okay?
It did stop in Toledo at some point, right?
That was Bowling Green. Bowling Green. No, you're thinking Dayton. I lived
in Dayton. You lived
for
in Dayton.
2 years.
Yeah, Dayton. That's what it was.
Yeah, I know I moved to Charlotte and back. I'm from here because that matters to me.
Yeah, but does it actually matter in the big picture?
It matters to me.
From the guy from Chicago, does it matter?
No, but
Jim Donovan, where was Jim Donovan from?
Wasn't it also from? No, it was Massachusetts.
Boston. Yeah. And he connected.
No.
A whole history of people.
My point is, it matters to me that I'm from Ohio because I take a lot of pride in being from here. That's all. Not that your experience doesn't matter, or Jimmy's. Now, that being said, let's bash.
I was going to reel off like 12 different play-by-play guys we've had in the city that are not from here.
Let's bash Ken Rosenthal for a moment. He went out there on TV. He was asked about the Guardians' chances of making the playoffs. And he was on Foul Territory TV. And get a load of this bleep, he said.
Does Cleveland really have a shot at the American League wild card?
It's an uphill fight, obviously. There's precious few games remaining, but that's why we play them. We play it out and see what happens. And stranger things have happened. I'm just so impressed by what they've done overall. They've had a roller coaster season beyond even what most teams, most contenders have experienced. And here they are. They're hot again. Sweeping the Tigers put them in this position. I don't rule out anything, but you look at the standings there. It's 1.5 games. The Red Sox are not exactly tearing it up. 10 games over 500. That's impressive for this team. This is not an offensive juggernaut by any stretch of the imagination. Do I see it happening? Not necessarily, but 1.5 games is not insurmountable either.
All right. So I had AA, Anthony Aland, the milkman, put this in because I couldn't listen to it, but I read the headline of the tweet. It's an uphill fight for Cleveland, says Ken Rosenthal.
Okay.
And I was just basing it off his body language.
It sounded pretty fair.
I don't have as big of a problem with it.
It sounded pretty fair.
I just think I don't like how Ken Rosenthal acts. I think he looks really smarmy to me, and I was just like, I saw the headline. It's on me, dog.
Well, it's fine. You're expecting what I think a lot of national people have been saying over the previous 24 hours.
He didn't mention the diff.
No, he didn't. The run differential has been a big talking point for a lot of people, and people keep bringing up the fact that the Guardians are 24-12 in games decided by exactly two runs. They're 11-6 in extra inning games, or 24-20 in one-run games, which I would respond back. That's exactly the type of record you would expect with a team that has a really elite bullpen going and a really good starting pitching right now. Like, you at least have an identity. You have something you're built on. I don't know what part of this is sustainable, but I also don't think we should look at it and say the Guardians are just here by pure happen chance and luck, and because you can't really explain it in great detail, you have to ignore it?
Yeah, so...
Or you have to discount it?
I'm going to go back one more. My bad, Ken. I thought you were going to say Ken Rosenthal, not Ken Carmen. He didn't say anything here. I just want to make it... My bad. But also, fair. A lot of things you said are fair. Go Guards. I feel like a jerk. I really thought he said something that kind of was going to piss me off. And then he was like, uphill battle and win.
I mean, you did lay into him for an hour with the teases.
That's fair. No, that's exactly why.
Like, I mean, like, each tease was.
I expected it for the Guardians the way he treated that poor cameraman the other day.
Yeah.
Where he just ran over and then stared down.
He's got to rewrite his image now. So, like, this is, he's being kind to the Guardians.
Playing the fence and saying,
yes,
they could make it, they could not make it. You know what? I mean, he's playing the fence here, and I think that is a problem.
Well, he's going to have to pander to basically national baseball fans and baseball fans in general for a long time to get them back in his good graces. No hard opinions anywhere out of Rosenthal.
Now,
ever had any to begin with, though, and that's where you should be a little surprised that you thought if Rosenthal was going to deliver like a 98 heater on the corner.
By the way,
the first fastball that Rosenthal, the next fastball that Rosenthal delivers will be his first.
Maybe I got him confused with another short king, John Morosi.
Morosi throws some fastballs.
He does. High and inside. The bleep you fastballs that Tanner Bibee was talking about that we played earlier, ESPN has updated their playoff percentage for the Guardians.
Okay.
25.8%. We had 9%.
I'm now out on these projections, by the way.
Why?
Out.
Are you going to tell me you don't believe in fat graphs anymore? Because this could be the end of the show, as we know.
Fat graphs is the epitome of riding the fence.
Show me.
All right. Are we all cooled and leveled down for me to explain why fat graphs is riding the fence
here? Yeah, if you're going to say yes.
Are you cooled down? You're going to take this in stride? The exact definition, in my opinion, of riding the fence is what kind of percentage odds do they have to make the playoffs? And the answer being 50%. Jake, what was Fat Graf's interpretation of the playoff percentages yesterday?
Love you, Kamish.
What was
good
that percentage?
To see you, buddy. You're looking good today.
What was that percentage?
That tattoo is very cool.
It might have been 50%.
Yeah, the exact definition of riding the fence.
No.
You gave as much opportunity to yes, they'll make it as no, they won't make it.
What
that
were
the definition
percentages?
Of riding on riding the fence? Fat Graf's until further notice.
The prosecution has spoken.
The fence.
Can the defense get in on this one?
Please.
Where was FanGraphs yesterday? 26%?
Yes, yes.
ESPN today, Fangraphs about 26%.
They decidedly weren't riding the fence.
They decidedly gave the Guardians a non... Yeah, yeah, yeah. So mine is not riding the fence. Mine is abject homerism.
It's the epitome of riding the fence.
Everyone else is saying 26%. No, no, no. I'm saying 50%. I'm being a homer, not riding a fence.
Next week, you can say you gave as much of a probability as them making it as you did them not making it. That's not how this works. There is no greater ability to ride the fence. There's no greater ability to ride the fence than choosing 50%.
Fine, 100%. No, I'm not doing that. You're not pulling me into it.
Back.
No,
you
I take it back. I
take
it back.
You took back a guarantee.
You're bullying me into this. 50% when everyone else says 26%. Oh, wow. I'm doing Steiner math now on air.
You think you know somebody.
50% when everyone else says the best you got is 26%. That is putting them on the table.
No, it's not.
I am not on the fence.
You get as much consideration to one side as you did the other. That is the exact definition of riding the fence.
No.
Points to Peterlin.
Most times, how dare you, Mr. Commissioner? You look very swell today, and I really like your beard. How dare you, though? No, this is... In this case, you're wrong to cite on the fenceness. I'm losing my ability to speak, damn it. Am I riding the fence? 216-474-0092. As a quick reminder, everyone's saying 26%. I'm 24% of everyone else, but I'm riding the fence. The lead in 5 minutes on 92.3 The Fan.
Bet365 is paying out before the final whistle.
Check out Bet365's unrivaled early payout offer. When you bet on a team to win and they take a 17-point lead, you get paid no matter the final score. Forget the final whistle and start counting that cash. Hold up. You get early payout on parlays, too.
Download the app and see why it's never ordinary at Bet365. Gambling problem? Call 1-800-GAMBLER. 21 plus only. Must be physically located in Ohio. T&Cs apply.
This episode is brought to you by Progressive. Most of you aren't just listening right now. You're driving, cleaning, and even exercising. But what if you could be saving money by switching to Progressive? Drivers who save by switching save nearly $750 on average. And auto customers qualify for an average of 7 discounts. Multitask right now. Quote today at Progressive.com. Progressive Casualty Insurance Company and Affiliates. National average 12-month savings of $744 by new customers surveyed who saved with Progressive between June 2022 and May 2023. Potential savings will vary. Discounts not available in all states and situations.
Dollar Shave Club delivers premium razors without premium prices. Get close, comfortable six-blade shaves, swift rinse and four blades for thicker hair, and translucent shave butter for precision. Visit DollarShaveClub.com/homerun. Use promo code HOMERUN for 20% off.
True North Convenience Stores and Red Bull are an elite matchup. True North offers returning players Red Bull Original and Sugar Free. First round picks like Watermelon, Wild Berries, and the newest rookie, Red Bull Zero. Right now, grab three of your favorite 8-ounce can flavors for $6.50 and save 10 cents off a gallon with the True Rewards mobile app. Available in your favorite app store. Rush into True North to score this deal before the clock runs out. True North Convenience Stores. Fast, friendly, clean.
Game day or any day, your fit says it all. Hit up MLBShop.com for the latest jerseys, caps, hoodies, and accessories to keep you in the game all year long. Rep your team, rep your city, rep yourself. Gear up and game on at MLBShop.com, the official online shop of Major League Baseball. Major League Baseball trademarks used with permission.